This is a Web Canopy Studio production.
Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. John Scott and Tim Wiersberger. Tim, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good.
So far.
So far. It's a very strange time in the country right now. Very, very weird.
In the whole world, really.
Went to Costco the other day.
Was it a madhouse?
There was a guy protecting the toilet paper who worked at Costco saying you can only have one. You may have one.
No way.
Toilet paper roll.
Was it like crazy lines and crowds and stuff?
Not that bad a few days ago, but my buddy on my men's team went today and he sent a picture and it was just like 40 carts in a row waiting to check out. All panicked.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even, I mean, day by day, hour by hour, the story's changing. And like, even from last night to today, it's just crazy how much has changed. It's a story that's going to keep changing so quickly, so rapidly. You know, we had friends that traveled earlier this week when this was still, you know, on the radar, but not a big deal. And now it's like, are they even going to be able to come home? You know, are they going to get quarantined somewhere? It's crazy how quickly things are changing and evolving.
Yeah, it is an ever moving thing. And I don't think it's nearly the end of it. I think this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
I think so too.
My personal opinion. I'm not a doctor, but who knows? So anyways, how does this affect hockey? I'm sure it's been beat to death on all the radio stations and the blogs and the articles, but we wanted to dive in a little bit deeper. You know, obviously the season is suspended indefinitely for who knows when, at least a month, I would think, if that incubation period is 2 weeks to 3 weeks, like the doctors are saying. So they can't really resume play at least for 3 weeks to a month. That is, I think, a no-brainer. So that puts you into April. The season's almost over. The season ends the second week of April. Second or first week of April, I believe. What happens? What are the next steps? What is going on at NHL headquarters now? How are they planning for life after coronavirus? I know during the lockout, when I was involved, they had a date set. If we don't sign a deal by this point, the season is lost. So I'm sure the powers that be are scrambling to try to figure out what is the last possible day we can stretch this to before the whole season is lost. And if we do hit that date, what do we do? This is uncharted territory. Do we just roll right into playoffs? Because more than likely, this virus, we will have a handle on it. This is just a sense I'm getting. I've been trying to do some research on it. We will have a good handle on it within the next month, a month to a month and a half. That's based on what happened in China, how they're handling it, their, you know, number of people getting infected to not getting infected, this and that. The bell curve that they have, theirs is on the decrease. And that's about 3 months from start to finish. And they're, you know, that's the epicenter. So I feel like here maybe that might be a little bit shortened, especially now that they've literally shut everything down. No traveling, no big groups, no sporting events, no anything. It's really, really shut down the whole country. So what happens? What do you think, Tim? Do you roll right into playoffs? Do you just forfeit the rest of the regular season? And where do we sit now? Those are the teams that make it in.
I think you do go right to the playoffs. What I would love to see, and I think fans would love to see it, doing the baseball method.
Play-in game.
Yeah, the 8-9 seeds, one game for that last playoff spot. I mean, how amazing would that be to watch?
That would be unbelievable. But then that just opens up Pandora's box. So what if the 9th seed has 86 points and the 10th seed has 85 points, but the 10th seed has two games in hand?
Yeah.
There's a lot of what ifs, and I should have been there, you should have been there, I don't like this. I would love to see that. Because as it stands right now, the 8th and 9th, what are the 8th and 9th seeds looking like? The 8th seed in the East is Carolina. The 9th seed is the Islanders. That would be an unbelievable play-in game. How fun would that be? But the Islanders, like, see, the Islanders have two games in hand, and they're only 1 point behind them. So the Islanders would be like, well, we would have made it in if we would have played those two games. In the West, we'd have Nashville playing Vancouver. Again, Minnesota's only 1 point behind. It's just there's so many unknowns. They could have a tournament. The bottom four teams, the two wild card teams and the two teams below them have a little play-in tournament.
Single elimination.
That would be so fun. But they can't do it. You would have to take the top eight. I think that would be the only way to go about it.
Yeah, because it's more than just the hockey. You think about like, the logistics, the planning, the concessions, the employees, like the scheduling, this whole thing. It's not something you can just quickly throw together. It's going to be just, I mean, we're in uncharted territory here. No one has a clue what's going to happen next. It's a lot of, you know, best guesses, and I don't think, like you said, it's just, it's fun for us fans to speculate about, but there's no way they can really pull something like that off. I don't think.
I know. It really is. And who knows even if the states will allow them to play.
Right.
You know, different states have different rules. I know Michigan, we just shut everything down, but other states are still, you know, going to school, doing other things. My alma mater, Michigan Tech, they beat Northern Michigan last weekend in the playoffs. They were all fired up. They were heading down to Ferris State for their second round playoffs. They canceled their whole NCAA season. The poor seniors, Alex Smith, he played his last game without even knowing it. A triple overtime win at Northern Michigan, which is not a bad game to be your last game, but when you're still preparing to play, like, that's a big hit to be a senior thinking you're advancing in the playoffs, and all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from underneath you, and you're like, you're done. That's it, buddy. Your career's over. Like, that's kind of a big deal.
I mean, yeah, the videos are starting to come out, too, of, like, you know, the high school and college teams being told by the coach that the season's been canceled, the tournament's been suspended. I mean, my high school basketball team was supposed to play at the TD Garden this week for their either state championship or league championship. Not going to happen. They're awarding their both co-champions of the Atlantic Division or whatever. It's devastating for the seniors, you know, that, not to know that you played your last game. And it's really kind of – and think about the NHL level. It's just – how many guys unknowingly have played their last game that are, you know, they're closing on 40, and or, you know, a prospect who was called up for the first time, or who's, you know, who's going to get his short window, and then, you know, you don't know how the dominoes are going to fall. He might never get another call up again.
Yeah, we were just chatting. We just talked to Ryan Miller. And he was, I was nervous to ask him this question. I was like, what if that was your last game? Like, what happens then? And he's like, I know, I've been thinking about that. It's kind of a weird thing to think about. I'm processing. He's a very introspective person. So I can't imagine being at the level that he's been at, and, you know, he's trying to advance his career and prolong it, and then all of a sudden, your last game. You didn't even realize it. You know, like, it's a very strange thing. Patty Marleau gets traded to Pittsburgh. He's like, this is my chance. You know, this is great. No. Like, this season's over. I honestly don't think they're going to extend the season in the playoffs. I think they'll just shut everything down.
I didn't even think about him. Poor Patty. The guy cannot catch a break.
Like, just, like, he's on a contender now, and then, boom, sorry, your season's over. And even if they do continue the season, he has lost a month of just gelling and getting to know those players and how they play. That's a big deal.
Like, well, that's part really of it, too, is, like, it's not just the games that are being canceled right now. Practices are canceled. Training, all that stuff, workouts are all canceled. So even if we do go right to the playoffs, the guys, you know, you can work out at home, but it's not the same as playing a month of games. Like, they're not going to be in game shape.
Yeah, I've been talking to players, and what I've gathered is they're just in the dark. They don't know what's going on. They've been told, go home, take care of yourself, make sure the family's good, stock up on food, and just kind of, we were playing a wait and see. Because I don't think the NHL knows what to do.
Right.
They are, in a lesser extent, just kind of piggybacking what the NBA does, I think. The NBA canceled, the NHL canceled. The NBA went no fans, NHL went no fans. They are just kind of waiting and seeing and just reacting to what is going on, which is the right thing to do. Obviously, the NBA, that commissioner seems to know what he's doing, but who knows? Like, and there's big ramifications that come from this that – I think people don't really understand, other than just losing a season. The biggest part of revenue for the NHL comes in the last month of the season. There's eyes on the teams. The rinks are full. They get so much money in that last quarter. It's just, I can't imagine if losing that affects next year's salary cap. That affects the hockey-related revenue. That affects escrow. That affects everything. A player's escrow is based on how much money the owners lose. If you take out the last part of the season, the owners are losing massive amounts of money. I know they have insurance, but the insurance companies are going to be hard-pressed to be paying out a ton of money, especially at a time like this. It's just there's a lot of moving parts going into this. I don't know. Does the salary cap next year, everyone's talking about $80 million, does it hit that? I know the Canadian dollar is tanking because of this. The Canadian teams drive the hockey-related revenue in the NHL. The Leafs, the Canadians, the Canucks, the Oilers, like all those teams make the most. When there's a list at the end of the season, the top 31 teams, you rank them. Who made the most money down to who lost the most? Those seven Canadian teams are always in the top 10. Always. And then it goes down. The bottom five are always your Arizonas, your Floridas, your Carolinas. Those teams are always in the bottom. The Canadian teams are always in the top 10. The Bruins are always up there. The Rangers are always up there. So to lose those teams, to have the Canadian dollar tanking, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. The NHL is one of the only leagues that depends on the gate. They depend on fans coming through the door. They depend on those ticket sales. Other leagues, they have massive sponsorship deals. They have massive TV deals. The NHL isn't lucky enough to have that. They rely on their fans a lot. And to lose that chunk of the season is massive. It's absolutely – so that's the business side of it.
So can you explain that a little more too? Like how does that, what you just talked about, impact next year's salary cap? Like what does the math come out to?
So every year the players vote on a growth factor. It's 5%. And if the league's doing well, if we're gaining money, you enact the growth factor, which means you take 5% of the previous year's salary cap and you add it on. So this year, I think the salary cap was $73-74 million.
I think it's
like
more
than that. So the growth cap would have put it at $80-82 million. And usually the players just enact that because the previous year did it for you. And it's like, okay, it's more money in the system. Life is good. But if that HRR isn't high enough, that 5% isn't going to be there, right? The 5% might only be an extra $1 million on the cap. So that affects a lot of people. That affects GMs who are expecting the salary cap to be $82-83 million.
So it's 81.5 now. I think the number was supposed to be like 83. There it wasn't supposed to be a huge jump, but now they're going to be even possibly go down.
It might even
down.
Be flatlined,
yeah,
or even down. So that affects massively GMs who, like GMs, they plug that into their numbers. Like, okay, we're losing this guy. We have this much money. It is a big deal to lose $2 million here and there. Like that's a player, that's a fourth line guy, that's a second line guy, that's a lot of money. And when you're trying to budget for next season, you budget for the first two lines, and this is how it's worked out because of this salary cap. You pay the first line a ton, and then you kind of fill out the rest of your roster. And then the bottom two lines inevitably end up making league minimum. That's just how it's worked out. There's no middle class in hockey anymore. It's either upper class or $2 million and lower. Like there's no guys making $3-5 million as it was in, I don't know, 20 years ago. There's sure there's some guys, but there's not as many as there was like 20 years ago. It's just how it works. And it's a big deal. It's a big concern. So who knows? I don't like, and then if the playoffs is lost too, that affects revenue. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy because the playoffs absolutely do count towards the revenue, the bottom line.
Including the salary cap for
yes,
the following season?
Like it all is encompassed into one thing. So, man, it is it's crazy. It's crazy. And then I was just – we were batting around ideas. Those teams that loaded up for the playoff run,
yeah,
those teams that went all in, like, listen, this is my year. Tampa Bay gave up 2 first-rounders to go get that Coleman and Gaudreau. If this season is shot – they lose two first-rounders. Edmonton Oilers gave up a ton for the guys that they got. Carolina went out and sold some first-rounders to get some defensemen.
Yep.
The Islanders went and got Pageau for a ransom, like a first-rounder, a second-rounder, Like, they gave up a ton of stuff, too. Like, that affects everything. Is there some give-backs? Like, you know, I didn't get my player. I need some give-backs. You know, maybe you give me back a few draft picks. I don't know how this plays out because those teams are just looking at Bettman like, hey, man, you screwed me. Like, let's play the playoffs. This is our year. We're all in. I have three guys who are going to be free agents next year, and I need to have a playoff run here.
Right.
You know? Like, this is my year. Tampa Bay, this is their year. This is their year to make a run for it. And they went all in, and now they're just getting hosed because of this coronavirus. It's It's funny how it works out. If you're a guy who gets called up, I'm sure we could look it up. You got called up last week. Coronavirus, they halt everything. I don't know if they've frozen the rosters. Do you get to stay on the NHL roster for the rest of the year? Do you make that NHL money? You know, there's these little things. The people who work at the rink, they don't get paid. There's a lot of moving parts in there. It's just very, very, very strange. It's unknown. If I was a player, I'd just be like, man, as long as I'm getting paid every 2 weeks.
Well, it's the families too. It's the fans on a much smaller scale, but they make some big investments to go to these games. Season tickets for like a working family that just, you know, that's their way to treat themselves for the year. The super
fans.
Did
they get refunded?
Yeah, well, I would imagine there's going to be some program set in place once the dust settles. But then you even have, like, I saw anecdotally on Twitter, someone had flown in, like, internationally to catch a game. Like, first ever, you know, whatever, Rangers game, and obviously the game wasn't held. So they're probably out a couple grand for this
whole
vacation.
Who's accountable? Like, yeah, how do you recoup that money? It's not the Rangers' fault.
Right.
I don't know, Tim. I really don't know.
Did you see, so obviously the NBA is closed down too, but Mark Cuban is kind of setting the standard where he's going to pay his team, or pay his employees, to make sure they're still, like, most of them are just, they're not salaried employees, they're working hourly, and he's going to make sure they're taken care of. And he said he might offer, like, you know, make sure you do, like, whatever, 20 hours a week of volunteering in exchange, so put a little good back out there. But he's, I don't know how many other owners or GMs will follow suit, if they can afford to do it. In this situation, but hopefully more follow that, because
Bruins,
so many families
owner won't. Jeremy Jacobs, not
he will
chance.
Not.
He's the cheapest owner in the league.
He will not.
That guy. But the same thing happened during the lockout, where these people depended on this income, and the lockout comes, and now they're out of a job. So some owners will. I would say most won't, sadly.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kevin Love, the basketball guy, just donated $100,000 to all the arena workers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just. It's just very strange.
It's a little scary. How are you and your family kind of preparing? How are you handling all this stuff?
I'm more of the thought process, like, we're fine. You know, we're fine. And then once it hits in Traverse City or close to us, I'm sure we'll start to panic. But, yeah, like, we have a family vacation plan for Scottsdale. We're still going. We're not flying. We're driving. So I envision we'll just kind of hammer out a quick drive down there and just bunker up in the house and swim the whole week and then come back. That's the plans right now, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a very scary situation. If it gets out of hand, we won't go, but it's bizarre. It's weird to go out in public and not have any people out, because people are literally just staying home. Like, your office, you're doing remote, working remote, right?
Yeah, our office just went 100% remote starting Monday, effective for who knows how long. It's not going to be like a 1 or 2 week thing. We're talking at least a month, maybe two, until this whole, you know, the smoke clears. We've got a lot of people with young kids, and that's the other thing. Like, parents need to work from home because their kids are being sent home. Every school is closing, including any area really at all. And how are they supposed to provide for their families if they're, like, you know, making minimum wage or an hourly worker who's not still getting paid, who can't, doesn't have a job they can work from home at? It's going to be, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and there's still, we're all just kind of still in the dark here. Fortunately for me, I'm a single guy, and I can just, I'll be just fine.
You're just,
but
sitting on a pile of money.
I don't know about that,
Tim,
but I don't have anyone to take care of. But I mean, like, look at you, you've got 5 or 6 people you got to provide for, and who knows how long that stash you got lasts down in the basement, all your stocked up food items and canned goods and stuff.
4 days.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's the other thing people were saying was, like, it's not the daycare costs. It's like, if you have the kids at home, they go through so much food if they're home all day. Just all the snacks. Like, you don't realize that.
I stress eat when I'm stressed.
Yeah, and months, you're bored.
And I'm bored.
Like, right. It's just boxes of Cheez-Its just disappearing left and right.
Yeah, it's, we'll see, I guess. We'll see what happens, but I think the most important thing, the league made the right decision shutting down. I think that was a no-brainer. They could have did it a little bit earlier. I know Ryan touched on that. I was kind of surprised he said that. Like, maybe they should have shut it down a little bit earlier than they actually did, instead of trying to set games or no fans. Like, that was never going to work. That was kind of a pie-in-the-sky idea. But ideally, this is my hope. A month from now, everything is kind of on the downhill. Everything's starting to, the smoke is clearing, you know, we got a handle on this virus. The league comes back on. They have 2 weeks of condensed games where they play 8 games in 2 weeks, and they kind of sort this thing out. And they play it just in division, in conference games, so they're not traveling all over the country. And they just almost have a little League World Series to try to get into the playoffs, where they just play guys in your conference a few times each, and then away we go for playoffs. I think that would be exciting. It would be appropriate. It'd be easy on travel. It would be something easy you could set up. You know, Toronto just plays in their conference. They play Boston. They play Buffalo. They play Ottawa. They play Montreal. You play those teams a couple times, and then we're off to the races for the playoffs. I think that would be the easiest thing to set up. It would be the most exciting for fans, and it would be the most fair for everyone involved. I think that would be a nice system. You know, you're not traveling over the country. If you still are worried, you don't open up the rinks to fans. You play with just essential staff. You play those games, maybe have a few thousand fans in the audience, if that, and then you go from there. And then you can extend the playoffs. Like, you don't have to start the playoffs the second week of April. You can start them in May and extend the season a little bit if you need a little bit more time. That's not unheard of. I know they did that with the lockout, where they just pushed the season back a little bit. That's not far-fetched. So you think that's a good idea, Tim? Should we call Gary?
Yeah. Let me shoot him a text real quick. I'm just thinking, like, you know, the story came out with the basketball player who, and you seen the video of him jokingly touching all the mic stuff.
That did not age well.
Oh gosh. And then so far, I don't think any NHL players have been.
There was a staffer at the Shark Tank in San Jose who got positively tested,
which was the first team to close down the games to the fans. But I think less than 24 hours later, the NHL was canceled. Like, that's how quickly this thing is moving. Yep. And we don't know, like, what's, you know, it's 4 o'clock on Friday now. Like, what's tomorrow going to look like in this situation? You know, so, yeah, like,
there'll be players who will test positive. I'm almost confident in that.
Yeah,
it'll happen. There's either a player or a coach or somebody. It's bound to happen.
Yep,
like, it is what it is. As long as you catch it.
And there's something too, like Tom Hanks. Like, once you start seeing celebrities and people that you whose names and faces you recognize, it becomes a little more real. I think Justin Trudeau's wife today was on the list. It's kind of crazy how quickly this thing's moving. Who do you if you had to think about the biggest probably impact that it's going to have on hockey that people might not realize, what do you think that is?
The biggest guys who this might be their last year.
Yep.
And then B, next year it's almost like you're having two rookie classes coming in again, because this is the time of year where teams call up players, you know, that they just sold off everybody, and they call up young guys from the AHL, guys who, you know, they're trying to get a look at for next year, giving them an audition for the last month. Teams like Ottawa, teams who are out of the race.
Detroit.
This is the time for those guys to kind of come up and make an impression. So next year coming into camp, you're almost going to have two rookie classes coming in, because a good chunk of those guys never got NHL experience, and then the management's going to want to know how they're going to do. So A, the old guys leaving, and B, the young kids who are coming up, it's just going to create a log jam come next year. Yeah. I think those are the two biggest ones affected. Like Joe Thornton, what a way to go out if this is his last, you know, run. Patty Marleau, Ryan Miller, guys like that. Vince Carter, I'm a big Vince Carter guy. Poor guy, played his last game. Like, he played for 22 years.
Did you see his last moment, though?
Three-pointer.
Awesome.
Not bad. It would have been nice if it would have been a windmill dunk, but three-pointer.
Yeah,
the guy's
swish.
Like 43 years old.
I thought it was, you know, a good point you just made. I hadn't really... I mean, I'm thinking about the playoff teams and all the guys who made runs at the deadline that, you know, have a lot to lose here. But the last month of the season is so, so important to those bottom-dwelling teams.
It's huge.
But that's how their season, their next year has started already.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're playing,
I mean,
for contracts. That's the motivation coaches will use coming into the locker room. Like, listen, I know we're done. A lot of you guys are playing for contracts next year, so let's go.
Well, not only that, but they're like, okay, what are the young kids? Are we going to give them a chance? Like,
yeah.
who's going to be on the show next year? Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's a good point.
And then do those kids even get a chance now? Because there's going to be a new crop of kids coming in. You know, you're a third rounder. You're in Ottawa. You're like, okay, I'm going to get a chance. They traded away a bunch of guys, and all of a sudden you play one game and they're done. That's it. Your career's done. I bet you look back this time next year, those kids who got called up still are sitting on one or two games because there's a new crop of kids they want to try.
You know, someone's going to have a story 10 years from now. It's like, I was going to get my shot. And then the virus happened. NHL shut down for 2 months, and that's why I never made the NHL.
I could have been a contender. It could have been me.
How many guys in like minors and stuff have stories like that? Like, oh, I had my shot.
Tons.
If not for this one little thing that happened.
Oh, I'm sure people have stories. I can't believe John Scott, they called him up. It was me. He ruined my chances. There's lots of stories like that. When I do my hockey events, there's always guys. You know, I was going to get called up, but then I tweaked my knee and they called up this guy and then I never got another chance.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be the coronavirus. I wonder if there's a player who got the call the day before the league got suspended. Like, hey, we're going to need you. Never mind. The league got suspended. Go back down to the AHL.
I have to imagine.
I would have to think there was a few guys that happened to. Ugh,
I'm sure. I'm sure it's probably pretty much assumed, but have you heard any of your, you know, any events coming up that you were going to go to have officially been canceled yet?
Yeah. There was a Buffalo one that got canceled. Yep. They're just going to start dropping like flies. My next one, I don't have until, what is it, April? I think it's May. I have my next one, but I'm assuming that one will be canceled. That's up in Canada, so Canada just plays by its own rules. So
I saw a hilarious tweet the other day, this morning, but... there's a possible vaccine coming out of Canada. Do you see that report?
No.
And this is not the joke. This is serious. Like they think they've developed something, and someone tweeted out like, Canada only canceled hockey for like 8 hours, and they already found the cure.
Just sheer panic sets in.
Yeah.
Well, it's the best time of year if you're a Canadian hockey fan.
That's right.
Honestly the best time of year. The rush for the playoffs and then the first round is always just so exciting. Especially with the Leafs almost being out. Like, it's just a great time to be a Canadian hockey fan.
How good would that? Like, the Leafs made this late push, and they held on to that spot. And now they're not going to make the playoffs anyway if this gets canceled.
A play-in game, and they lose.
Oof.
That would be just gravy. It'd be unbelievable when Tyson Barrie turns it over in overtime. Oh, tell you what. Now, that would be breakfast.
What if Carolina beats him in a playoff round, too? And Jake Gardner.
Yeah. OT winner. Mr. I don't like OTs or game 7 OT.
It's just Boston. That just gets his goat.
I know. If he didn't play those two games, he'd still be in Toronto. He would be.
Maybe.
I guess when the other day he got a goal and 2 assists. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I do not follow Jake Gardner.
I check Carolina's box score every game. Like, what did Jake get? He's still like dash 100, but he's slowly putting up points. He's behind Barry. Don't worry.
He's got 24. He's yeah.
Dash 18 or
24.
Something. 24. He's having a tough
year
on the minus.
So he's zero.
He's having a tough year on the minus.
He's got 11 power play points.
I know, which I didn't see coming out of him. But anyways, we'll give you an update next week. I think it's wait and see. I hope everyone's staying safe. I hope you're doing well. Take this time to really enjoy your loved ones, everybody. And tweet me if you want to chat. Cheers.